Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. I'm Judy Lee Bracken. Today, I'm delighted to have on a veteran of musical theater in Canada, musical theater singer, performer, cantor, and conductor of Singing with Parkinson's, led by Paula Wolfson. And later on in the show, we're going to have some behind the scenes fun from our producers, Siobhan Kiley and Eva Shabbatai. So stay tuned to find out what it's like to be a producer on Finding Your Bliss at the end of the show. But first, let me tell you a little bit more about our first guest, the very talented Paula Wolfson. Paula has received numerous praise and accolades. As John Kaplan from Now Magazine wrote, there's only pleasure in the work of Paula Wolfson, a megawatt talent. Or, as it was written in the Toronto Star, Paula's full-throated emotional singing is one of the evening's joys. The Globe and Mail, Toronto Magazine, Paula has a lush, friendly voice that welcomes you into the music. How beautiful is that? Or this one, Paula Wolfson belts the F out of everything and shakes the house down at every turn. Mooney on Theatre Toronto. Glenn Sumi writes, didn't want to single her out in Capsule Review, but Wolfson blew the roof off in Caps. And finally, also by John Kaplan, the sassy, brassy Wolfson has awesome pipes and is as good an actor and comic as she is a singer. Paula Wolfson is a Dora Maver Moore award-winning musical theater artist with over 40 years worth of appearances in mega musical tours and small shows in towns you've never heard of, covering much of the North American continent. After receiving her artist educator certificate from the Royal Conservatory, Paula embarked on a new musical trail, finding great pleasure in facilitating singing and personal expression with the vulnerable, people diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, the mentally ill, Alzheimer's, dementia. She now focuses on conducting Singing with Parkinson's, a registered charity which she founded. Paula led the Hazanut for Congregation Shir Levayenu at the MNJCC for 8 years. Paula, welcome to Finding Your Bliss. So delighted to have you here.
Thank you so much, Judy. I'm delighted to be here.
Paula, you're in the Canadian Who's Who, listed as an actor, singer, and musician. The reviews about your work are dazzling, as we've just heard. And guess what? When I mentioned that we were having you on the show, our supervising producer, Mag Ruffman, said this. I remember her playing Mary Magdalene in Jesus Christ Superstar, and she was an absolute standout at St. Michael's High School. She is so musical and is such a good singer. And I know for everyone, for our listeners, Mag was referring to when you scored the Mary Magdalene role in a high school JCS. You said that this was it for you, hook, line, and sinker. This was 1975. You became a Canadian Actors Equity member by 1980 in Godsville at the now defunct Bayview Playhouse. What was it about that production that had you hooked forever?
Well, I'm having to go way back. I think just being able to express things that I wasn't able to do for lack of know-how at that age. I was a teenager. Prior to that, I was locking myself in my bedroom with my guitar and wailing Joni Mitchell. And I had never done a theater piece before. So that was a real eye-opener. And that's when the penny dropped and I knew. My poor mom, though, nothing would do but that I go to university. So I couldn't just go at it upon graduating, but I only spent a couple of years at school and then hit the boards.
Wow. And boy, did you ever. I mean, you've had a 40-year career as a musical theater artist, as a cabaret performer. You have a Dora Maver Moore Award for your role in Shaking the Foundations. And I couldn't believe also when I read that you were in the first ever Canadian tours of Les Misérables and Beauty and the Beast. What are your memories of the Les Misérables first Canadian tour? That must have been a trip.
It was a trip, Judy. I've always loved being able to get on a plane or in a car or in a bus and go touring across our beautiful nation. But I think the funniest thing that came out of that show for me was having money for the first time. and seeing a pair of shoes that I thought were delightful and then buying them in three colors. And then coming home and my accountant saying, so how much did you put away for tax? And I said, tax? What's that? Yeah, it was something else. I'd never been part of it was a big machine, Les Mis.
Yes.
A huge, I mean, everyone knew they had to see it before, long before it got here, long before internet gave us any snippets of what to expect. That was a real mind blower.
I know you played Mrs. Potts in Beauty and the Beast. Who did you play in Les Misérables?
I was an understudy. I was a swing in Les Mis, which means that you understudy the entire female chorus.
Wow.
So I think I had to learn 16 different parts. They call them tracks. All the soprano parts, all the alto, all the blocking, when your mic, I still have bad dreams. I'm serious. It's a recurring theme where I'm in the wrong place. I have the wrong hat. I think that's a pretty typical dream for a theater artist.
Yes. But
I'm still haunted by the stress of that job.
You're supposed to be Eponine, but you've got the Fantine costume on.
Never that far. No, it's just the chorus. Never the big one.
Well, I want to tell you guys, that listeners, you're in for a real treat because we're going to be hearing some of Paula's singing. And honestly, your voice is, it's just, it's insanely, unbelievably good. And I mean, you all heard the reviews off the top. If you didn't, listen to the podcast to hear them, because this is a unanimous thing. Your singing is really just beyond. It's just beyond.
Thank you, Judy.
Do you remember the first production you ever saw and what your reaction to was it as a little girl?
I do. It was Anne of Green Gables at the Royal Alex. And I remember being way up at the top and I was terrified of falling down the stairs and over the edge. That place was so spooky. And Barbara Hamilton was playing.
Marilla.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That was something. But the first time I had a swoon was when Eric Peterson was doing 1837 at Passamurai. I was still in high school and I saw him on the subway and I had to go up to him. Oh, Mr. Peterson, I just saw you. It was phenomenal.
Wow.
Magical moment.
I just had a flashback of the first time I saw Eric Peterson in a show too. He's something else.
Oh, yeah.
What was your earliest memory of you being on stage? What were you doing and how would you describe what it felt like to be up there? Was that the high school Mary Magdalene or had you done something even earlier?
No, I was doing coffee houses in those days. And I taught music at Bayview Glen Day Camp. And they did a coffee house there too. Somebody just handed me a guitar because you couldn't take a piano with you anywhere. So I had to quickly learn how to play something. And I remember very clearly stopping the guitar and just taking a moment to see if people were listening. And they were. And that's when that penny dropped.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah, it was very enlightening. Because the thing about music is not just about always putting out, it's also about stopping and letting the breaks work for you as well.
Of course.
The silence.
You know, I have had a lot of musical theater artists on this program, Cynthia Dale, and just it goes on and on and on, the greats, and Louise Pitre, and many more. But I have to tell you that I absolutely flipped out when I listened to your demos on your website, Paula Wolfson. com. And I just encourage you all, and we're going to give all the particulars at the end of the show, but Paula Wolfson, WOLFSON.com. I encourage you all to go check out that website because there's something about those tracks and your voice that I just went, oh my God, like this is not just, we're going to talk about this cool event you have coming up on May 1st. This is, I want to get to know this musical theater artist. And in fact, I don't want to make our audience wait any longer. I want to play one of your cover songs, In My Heart by Dorothy Dittrich from When We Were Singing. Can you set it up for us?
Yes. Brilliant, Dorothy. I met her in Vancouver, which is where she wrote that piece, and we workshopped it and put it on there. And then I moved to Toronto and did a show at Buddy's, and David Oye was the artistic director at the time, and he asked me if I had anything else up my sleeve, and I said, yes, you have to listen to Dorothy's When We Were Singing. So they produced it there, and I got to play an alcoholic homophobe.
Wow.
It's fantastic. Talk about digging down. And it was an extraordinary piece. We were all so much younger then. But she's an incredible writer.
It's just incredible. So here is Paula Wolfson singing In My Heart. Let's all have a listen.
In my heart, there's a small town where all the streets go winding down. And every day is more or less the same. I know the signs in windows, recognize the faces of the people in cafes. In my small town, everybody stays. Winter brings the snow, summer days are long. Maybe all I need to know. I criticize and hesitate. Sometimes that makes me feel ashamed. I keep up with the family news and wonder what I choose to leave. If I could choose again, the city sings a song that I need to hear.
Wow, wow. Does that make you want to cry?
I am crying.
I know. I know. That's okay. That was beautiful, Paula. What a beautiful talent you are.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's so important to pause sometimes, and I can't help this. I'm a life coach. And just, you know, we tend to do stuff and just keep moving, 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 especially in this business, right?
Yeah.
On to the next thing, on to the next job, on to the next audition. And it's so important to pause. And that's what I honestly love about doing this show, is to watch, especially musical theater artists, because I also interview authors and all kinds of thought leaders and other mindfulness people. But to see an artist listen to themselves sing and to just pause and enjoy it and just go back, you know, a little bit.
Yeah.
Because we don't do that enough.
We don't. We're afraid of it. We're afraid to sit still for a sec.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was just gorgeous. Where did you get your musical training? Like, did this just all come naturally and you just sort of did this after that Mary Magdalene experience?
I was hoping you would ask that question. It came very naturally. My mother sang around the house while she was doing chores.
Nice.
And it made it just seem so natural and accessible to me. It's just what you do when you're doing the dishes or when you're washing the floor or ironing the sheets or whatever. We ironed the sheets.
Wow.
Anyway,
wow.
This became so natural. And I know we're not talking about it yet, but I'll come back to this point because it's my mission to try to get people to allow themselves to do the same thing. So many people are shut down over singing. You know, someone's told them to mouth the words, not to use the voice, or, you know, anyway. So it was a very natural thing for me to do. We had choices of which arts we would learn as kids. Painting or piano were kind of the two. I tried painting, no good, but the piano worked. And then the guitar came along and an auto harp and et cetera.
Wow. And the rest is history.
Yeah.
What I love about you is that you really can sing anything. In fact, Georgia Strait from Vancouver wrote that Paula Wolfson's work as Belinda is breathtaking. She has a huge range and a full palette of vocal colors, capable of a joyous brassiness that would be the envy of any pop star. Can you tell us about playing Belinda and what that was all about?
Belinda was the alcoholic homophobe.
Okay.
When we were singing.
Okay.
Yeah. But again, I have to thank Dorothy for writing that kind of music for me to sing, because it was a huge range. Huge. Wow. Because everybody has something broken or hurt that they've either dealt with or they haven't. And Belinda, of course, hadn't. So everything came out really sharp and nasty until she had her quiet alone moment. Mm. So that's what that was.
Just gorgeous.
And then listening to the radio, the 70s. Oh my God, the 70s for music. And I just wailed along with Paul Simon or Joni or whoever.
Oh, I so see you singing Joni Mitchell. And even though we've got a lot of other musical things planned for this show of you singing, you have to come back and sing some Joni Mitchell for us.
Okay.
As well. I'd love to hear that. Was there an epiphany, and this might have been the one, Belinda, but was there an epiphany in your musical theater career where you just thought to yourself, it doesn't get any better than this?
Oh, boy. You might find this strange, and your listeners might find this strange, but after a mega musical tour and all the accolades and the parties and the money and the all that stuff, for me, when I got to Saskatoon and did a little show called Rock and Roll, and there was only four of us and I was the only girl, and you could see the audience's eyes and you were treated like a human being, not a cog in a machine.
Sure.
That was one of the most special moments.
Wow.
For me. Yeah.
And that's spoken like a true artist, right? Because it's very easy just to say, oh, the standing ovations and the applause and the throngs of people. But it's so interesting. And it says so much about you as a person that that wonderful epiphany for you happened in Saskatoon in a very small space.
Yes.
That's a true artist right there. We know that. You diversified into teaching. You're an artist educator with the Royal Conservatory of Music and also cantorial singing. You've been a soloist at Shir Levi Anu, and you're a horticulture expert. Wow. You're a real artist. A master gardener with your own business, My Gardens Keeper. But you came back as a performer in a big way at the 2018 Fringe Festival, where your show Judas Star Supersong received rave reviews and earned you a nomination for Outstanding Performance in a Musical. Can you tell us about this? Because you created and performed Judas Star Supersong at the Fringe. Where did the idea come from, and what insights can you give us into that whole process?
Cast your mind back to Jesus Christ Superstar 1975. I want to play Judas. That's who I want to play. Mary Magdalene. Bah. And all those years, I kept thinking, how can I do it? 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 And I was toying with the idea about 8 years ago. We did little snippets of it at a little concert that I gave for a certain birthday. And it went over really well. And so I took the score of Jesus Christ Superstar and tore it apart and put it all back together again with a focus solely on Judas.
Wow.
I kept the storyline and I kept a lot of the other characters, but really Judas just spoke to me so deeply.
How so? What was it about Judas that spoke to you so deeply?
It's the whole question of, why are we here? Do I have any choice? Is there free will? What if I don't want to do what you think you want me to do, or what you think Creator wants me to do? Who says? So just his struggle and his pain navigating through all of that, I just had to sing it. So I did.
And what was that experience? I mean, obviously it was very well received, but what was that experience like for you to do it?
Well, we were in St. Stephen of the Fields on College with no air conditioning in the middle of July. People are dying.
Yes.
Oh my Lord, it was hot. But it was so fun. We sold out. All the shows got sold out. And you know, my whole thing about making people sing, I had a little sing-along at the end because I didn't do the Mary Magdalene song. I'm like, oh, I just don't want to. But I made them sing. It was so fun. So fun.
That's fabulous. That's fabulous. You parlayed your passion, your love of musical theater, and your talent into your brainchild, Singing with Parkinson's, led by Paula Wolfson. Can you tell us more about your brainchild, how you became a part of all of this, and then really parlayed it into a whole new career? Don't answer that just yet. We're going to go on a short commercial break. more with Finding Your Bliss and singer Paula Wolfson when we come back. Back in a moment.
Life.
This is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, FM 96.7. And just before the break, Paula, I was asking you about your brainchild singing with Parkinson's and how it all came to be.
I can't take credit for creating it. I was hired as the artist educator by, it was called Ryerson then. Dr. Frank Russo and Estella Vezer had created a study to see if what they called emotional singing, if it had any impact on the so-called Parkinson's mask. So they hired me to conduct this group of people that I fell in love with immediately. We only worked together for a few months and then the study was over and the funds ran out and I asked if I could take it over. They called it Parkinson's Choir. I got rid of the word choir because that scares people for good reason. And by 2018, with help from a friend of mine who's a lawyer, Martin Gladstone, he got us our letters patent and we were off to becoming a registered charity. And it'll be 10 years. It's 10 years as of yesterday, actually, that I was hired.
Can you tell us what it looked like? Because I know it's had different permutations and computations before COVID, during COVID, where you used to meet at the Four Seasons Center once a week, I believe on a Thursday, and you would all meet together in a huge big circle. And I saw visuals of that. It looked fabulous. Just paint us a picture of what it looked like before and during COVID and now.
Sure. Well, before COVID, the before times, we were adopted by the Canadian Opera Company. They gave us a rehearsal room. They fitted it for accessibility. And people came by Wheel-Trans and by car and they walked. And it was unbelievable when I look back now. We stayed afterwards and had snacks and a great visit. And I was just starting my second group. There was too many in the first one for me to manage. I need to have eye contact and hands-on and see what's happening. And as soon as we started the second class, COVID hit and it's changed us immensely. It's not nearly so magical now because it is online, but it's better than nothing. I've got people in the States. I have people out West. I have people out East. Like it's just people who couldn't manage coming into downtown Toronto. Now, I don't even think I could manage coming into downtown Toronto again, frankly. So every Thursday, 2 o'clock, we do, much like you started, Judy, with the breathing. That's how we start. We do vocal exercises geared specifically for people who have vocal difficulty, which is an affect of Parkinson's for some people. And then we launch into either learning new songs or reviewing our oldie goldies, as I call them. And we have a huge range of music. And it's just the best. They're so brave.
Wow. Look what you're doing for people. Tell everyone the benefits of singing for the voice when you're impacted by Parkinson's. Or rather, as you say, the benefits of singing, period, for the heart, soul, and body for everyone.
Yeah. I'm not a doctor or a physician or a therapist. All I can talk to is my own experience and how I see it printing on the people I sing with. But you could even just call it vibration. But there's something about breathing in that air, letting out an emotion that maybe you haven't allowed yourself to feel before. There's something in those words that speaks to you. You know, when people ask you how you're doing and you always say, I'm fine.
Yeah.
So I'll throw a sad song at them, you know, and just say, don't go down the rabbit hole of despair, but just notice what that feels like to actually let that feeling out in a safe way. We use kazoos for vocal exercise because when you hum, it's really difficult to make a loud noise, but you bring a kazoo out of your pocket and the ice breaks and people laugh and it's really fun.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
What an incredible thing. It's been said that singing with Parkinson's under your leadership is much more than a choir. It's a community and a therapeutic resource for people living with Parkinson's disease. It's a community. I love that. Can you say more about that?
Yes. Now, in the old days, when we could visit after class, it was a little better. The ice was broken. So I've been gently guiding them to stay after class for 10 minutes. I turn my stuff off and disappear so that they have people have 10 minutes to visit with each other and check in and see what's going on. I've never had any kind of horrific anything, but I think when you know that there's other people in the boat with you, it makes it a little easier.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Just to express what it is you're feeling. Oh, you feel that too? Oh, your doctor said that? Oh, You know, it's as important as the singing, I think.
So incredible. I know you have a very big event coming up on May 1st. That's how this all started. You wrote to me and invited us to the event, and I would really like to be there. Can you tell us about that event on May 1st?
I'll save you a cookie, Judy.
Yes.
So I was hired in April of 2015 to conduct the Parkinson's Choir. We became a charity in 2018. And then this year marks our 10th year from beginning to now of singing with Parkinson's every week for 10 years. So we're having a little celebration. It's not a fundraiser. I just want to get as many people in the room as I can. Not sure how many of my participants will make it, but everybody else can zoom in. And nice. We'll just celebrate. And we'll have a little sing-along. We've picked a song for us to sing. Our patent letters lawyer, Martin, is also a musician. He's going to sing for us. Martha Johnson of Martha and the Muffins is going to be our special guest.
Nice.
Martha's going to speak to what it is to be an artist with Parkinson's.
Fabulous.
So I think it's going to be a lot jammed into an hour, but I think it'll be pretty great.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. I look forward to it. And we'll tell people at the end of the show again how they can get tickets.
Okay.
In addition to all that you do, you also work with those in long-term care, those with special needs. And I read that you work with people with Alzheimer's and dementia. That made me think about when my late father was really dying really predominantly from Alzheimer's. And it was Canada Day. And I went to sing O Canada with him, and he knew all the words. He'd forgotten people's names. He'd forgotten so many things, but he knew all the words and sang with me and with my children, O Canada. And I'll never forget that. I just thought, wow.
So beautiful.
So tell us about what that's like working with people in long-term care, people with special needs.
Yeah, you have to meet them where they are. Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of people who don't have experience with someone who's got that kind of struggle, maybe the partner will answer for the person, or you just have to meet. It's almost like an improv. It's like, yes, and, as opposed to, no, he died, la, 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 or no, you sold that. Yes, and.
Right.
Is what it's like, you know, right. And whether they know the words or not, we just make up vowel sounds. Doesn't matter. But again, wonderful. That's why music is so important. That whole project with the iPod, playing music for people from their era, and you'd see somebody who's been comatose forever and ever, and then you see the toe begin to tap because you're playing their music. They recognize it.
That's so fabulous. So fabulous. I also have a son who is a cantor, a beautiful cantor. There's something about cantorial singing. Mm-hmm. That I find so beautiful and impactful. Mm-hmm. And you've done it for many years. Can you tell us about cantorial singing and what you love about it?
The minor keys.
The minor keys, yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yes. And I learned it all by rote because I never did learn to read Hebrew, but Aviva Goldberg was our rabbi at the time. And between her and the other cantor, Daniela Gesundheit, I just learned by rote. And it's a really small congregation. It's just in the chapel at the JCC. So maybe 40, 50 people at a time, aside from when you do the big things at the high holidays and the mitzvot. I don't know. There's something in my soul about howling those liturgical pieces. Just beautiful.
It's so powerful.
Yeah.
Do you remember, because I think you and I are from the same era, years ago, this play has haunted me. There was a show called Cantorial that played at the Lay Apostles Theater that was so beautiful. I have no idea who it was written by or what it was, but I just remember being struck. And that was the first time I sort of became aware of the role of the cantor. But I have to look that up and check that out. I know a lot of people must wonder, because I know I did. With a voice like yours, and you'll hear again, everyone, because we've got something else coming up, beautiful singing from Paula. Why you're not singing as much anymore? Do you still have a yin to do it, perhaps a one-woman show?
I don't think, the whole time I was doing this super song thing, I was terrified there was just so much going on. And yeah. It was such a hard sing. I think maybe that's what an opera singer feels like when you have to go for that note and pray to God that your voice doesn't crack. There's a lot of pressure with that. I don't think I want to sing like that anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm very open to singing for people and with people. But the whole process of self-production.
Yeah.
If somebody else wants to take up those reins, give me a call. It's a lot of work and schlepping and,
yeah,
you know,
heartache and all of it and all of it, a lot of high E's.
I sang on the train, by the way. I forgot to tell you guys that I was the artist on board VIA going from Toronto to Vancouver last October.
Wow.
Well, that was pretty crazy. So I still love singing, but not so much doing a show.
Not so much doing a show. You want to do it in your own way. And I think we just have to always find out what that your own way is so that we can check in on it, because you're so amazing. There's a question that we ask everyone at the end of the show. So, of course, we're going to ask it to you. What is bliss for Paula Wilson?
Bliss is when my SWIFT peers, my Parkinsingers, when they sing something, when they get it, and I cry because I'm so happy. That's my bliss.
You're such a wonderful person. What is the best way for people to contact you, connect with you on social media and on your website?
I'm not really doing social media at the minute, unless you want to talk gardens, in which case it's Hortodiva on Instagram. Yeah. But paulawolfson.com, you'll get an email link there. Nice. That website's going to change. Did you see how old-fashioned it was? All pink and girly and curly. And
I love pink. Do you see my pink in the background?
Oh, yeah.
That's me. So I love all that. So it works for me. And also, again, about May 1st, what is the best way for people to get tickets? Is that through the website as well?
Yeah, it's not ticketed. I just need to know that you're coming so I know how many sandwiches to get. So again, paula@paulawolfson.com. Nice. We'll get you to me. And if you want to attend in person, great. If you want to watch it on Zoom, I can send you the link for that. But come, you might get a kazoo.
And a cookie. So I'm coming for sure. You had me at the cookie. You had me at hello. Stay tuned, everyone, because we have some goodies coming up later on in the show. But first, Paula, we have another song to share with our listeners. Can you tell us about the song, We Small Hours?
One of the first cabarets I put together was called Between Engagements, meaning either you're between lovers or between shows. And I was just drawing a parallel. It's very similar to being between lovers and between shows. It's the same thing. You're always check the phone to see if the dial tone was there. So lots of songs around longing and loss and desire. And We Small Hours is one of those songs.
Let's all have a listen to We Small Hours by Paula Wolfson.
When the sun is high in the afternoon sky, you can always find something to do. But from dusk till dawn, as the clock ticks on, something happens to you. In the wee small hours of the morning, when the whole wide world is fast asleep, you lie awake and think about the boy, and never, never think of counting sheep. Of all.
my God. It was my turn to cry this time. Maybe you're crying too. I don't know. But that was so beautiful, Paula. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Judy.
Oh, I knew this had to be a full show. I knew this couldn't be a 20-minute thing. Once I heard you sing, it was all over. I want to thank you so much, Paula, for being on the show today. It truly was an honor to have you here.
It was my honor, Judy. Thank you.